Researchers say facial recognition software, plagued with racist bias, probably can't be fixed. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Check. I'm Molly Wood. It's been proven that facial recognition software isn't good at accurately identifying people of color. We also know that police departments around the country use facial recognition tools to identify suspects and make arrests. And now we know about what is possibly the first confirmed wrongful arrest made as a result of mistaken identification by software. The New York Times reported last week that Robert Williams, a Black man, was wrongfully arrested in Detroit in January. Joy Boulamwini has been researching this topic for years as a computer scientist based at the MIT Media Lab and head of the nonprofit Algorithmic Justice League. She says, like racism, algorithmic bias is systemic.
This is not a case of one bad algorithm. What we're seeing is a reflection of systemic racism in automated tools like artificial intelligence. Right now, we're gambling with people's faces. And when we're gambling with people's faces, we're gambling with democracy.
I mean, it does seem like awareness and policy around facial recognition are starting to catch up, if slowly. But what more needs to happen? Is it the role of companies alone to not offer the software? Or is it the role of governments to stop police departments from using this technology?
We can't leave it to companies to self-regulate. While we have three that have come out to step back from facial recognition technology, you still have major players who supply facial recognition technology to law enforcement. We absolutely need lawmakers. So we don't have to accept this narrative that the technology is already out there. There's nothing we can do. We have a voice. We have a choice. What we are pushing for with the Algorithmic Justice League is a federal law that bans face surveillance across the nation. So I am encouraged by the latest bill I've seen from Congress. So I would highly encourage support of that bill so that at least across the country, there are some base level protections.
You wrote this post that ended with the line, "Racial justice requires algorithmic justice." Given that humans write the algorithms, this is sort of the constant question. How can that be accomplished? Algorithmic justice, I mean.
Sure. So when we're talking about algorithmic justice, it's really this question about having a choice, having a voice, and having accountability. And so what we're seeing with this Wild Wild West approach to deploying facial recognition technology for surveillance is a lack of choice. It's a lack of consent. And so when we're thinking about algorithmic justice, it is this question about who has power and who has a voice, and it needs to be the voice of the people. When we're talking about racial justice, the reason racial justice requires algorithmic justice is increasingly we have AI tools that are being used to determine who gets hired, who gets fired, who gets stopped or arrested by the police, what kind of medical treatment you might receive, where your children can go to school. And so in so much as AI is increasingly governing and serving as the gatekeeper to economic opportunities, educational opportunities, we can't get to racial justice without thinking about algorithmic justice.
Technology companies are so sure that there must be a way to make this technology work and make it work largely for good. And I wonder if you think the events of the past month have really changed whether they keep working on this technology or whether they might actually start to see the real limitations that you have seen for so long.
Companies respond to the pressure of the people. And I want to emphasize that the announcement for IBM to stop selling facial recognition technology, for Amazon to do a one-year moratorium, and for Microsoft to not sell to law enforcement came after the cold-blooded murder of George Floyd. Protest in the streets, years of employee activism. We have a responsibility to think about how do we create equitable and accountable systems. And sometimes what that means is you don't create the tool.
Joy Boulamwini is a computer scientist at the MIT Media Lab. But speaking of tools we should not create, researchers at Harrisburg University last week said they've created facial recognition software that can actually predict crime. We already know what could go wrong. And now for some related links. A little more on this predictive policing story. The Harrisburg team hasn't actually published their research, but as you might imagine, it sparked a pretty immediate backlash. The research team includes at least one former police officer who wrote that the software could literally identify, quote, the criminality of a person from their facial image. And the team said, much like the CEO of Clearview AI has tried to say, that their facial recognition tech operates with, quote, no racial bias. About 1,700 academics immediately signed on to an open letter pointing out that years of research show that claim simply cannot be true. And further, that even the idea that facial recognition software can predict a tendency toward crime has itself been debunked. The Harrisburg research was submitted to the publisher, Springer Nature, which said it had already rejected the paper by the time the open letter had been sent. But this idea of predictive policing, even if it's not based on facial recognition, still has lots of appeal for law enforcement. The idea that AI can somehow determine where and when crime might occur, and that this could somehow happen separately from all the social and economic and racial issues that might just complicate the data. Last week, the city of Santa Cruz, California, became the first U.S. city to ban predictive policing completely. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.